Welcome back to Is That What I Call Music? And this is not the start of season two or series two. I'm getting very American these days.
Yeah.
But we are reflecting a little on our first series of podcasts where we covered quite a lot of artists and we realized that some of them don't feature very often on Now albums. And thus we thought if we want to talk about them a bit more, maybe we should just reflect on certain artists for a little bit before we move on.
Yeah, because it seems some are interesting enough to warrant that little bit more attention that ultimately we're not really going to get.
We're not going to sort of dig down into every novelty pop act or anything like that. We don't have one planned for Vanilla. Right now, we're going to be talking about Heaven 17.
Yes.
Who we talked about on the first podcast because they are on the first Now album.
You may remember we talked very favourably of that one.
Yes, that's Temptation, which is on that.
Yeah.
Which is one of the greatest pop songs of all time, probably.
Because of how familiar this song is and the fact that it was out before we were born, obviously, it's easy to forget just how out there it must have been at the time. Their innovation, I think, shows itself when you listen to it in context of that Now album.
Yeah.
That it stands out by some way.
Yes. And like the other stuff which sounds that way is often had some tangential link to Martin Ware from Heaven 17 because he was one of the founding members of A Human Ecos on that album and he produced Tina Turner's version of Let's Stay Together.
Oh, yes.
So his fingerprints are actually all over that first Now album. But sort of more generally, I guess, because I don't know how much we sort of introduced Heaven 17 when we spoke about it on that first podcast, but they are a new wave synth pop funk kind of band,
yeah.
I guess. They're from Sheffield, formed in 1980. It was Martin Ware, who we've spoken about there, Ian Craig Marsh, he was the other guy from the Human League who left initially, I think, and then Glenn Gregory, whose name I have trouble saying, he on the vocals. He's the man who has a very distinctive voice.
Yes.
And it's an interesting thing because throughout their music, as you get later on, that's the thing which is most consistent is his voice.
His voice, yeah.
But yeah, they had this, that first album, well, not the first album, we'll get onto that later, I guess, maybe, but the second album, one which has Temptation on, was their sort of big moment in the sun, and then they sort of hung around the top 40 for a little while after that, and then they just took most of the 90s off.
Yeah, without getting too much attention beyond the early 90s
re-release. Yeah. But they got back together in the 2000s, and they're still touring now, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
The other guy, Ian Craig Marsh, did leave the band in the 2000s, 2007.
Okay.
So it's just Gregory and Ware now.
Okay.
But, you know, it's kind of impressive that those guys are still mates after all these years. Doesn't always happen in the pop world.
No.
I did sort of look to see if there was sort of any interesting trivia about them in particular. I liked to say, because I did have read A Clockwork Orange many years ago, but I did not remember coming across the fictional band Heaven 17 in there, but that's where their name comes from, apparently.
Well, I think it's, I seem to remember it's in the film as well.
And I think I've seen the film even longer
ago. I can't remember how long it's been since I've seen the film. Probably it could be as long as 10 years or so, but obviously even that is since knowing Heaven 17. I think it's something, because I knew the fact, I looked out for it.
It fits with the general apocalyptic
vibe
of Heaven 17, which again is going to be something which comes up again as we talk about them, I think. In fact, let's do this right now, I guess, because one of the other, possibly the most notable thing in their early career was getting banned from the BBC for their, was it their first single, We Don't Need This Fascist Groove Fang, from the album, the first album, Penthouse and Pavements. I always get that the wrong way around. Pavement and Penthouse.
Not Pavement.
Maybe.
The Penthouse.
I don't know. It'll be the funky stuff. It's not for you and me. No. Europe's an unhappy land. They've had the fascist groove thing. Help us.
Help us. Sisters. We don't need the fascist groove thing.
But yeah, anyway, it's a great album. I think David and I are both of in agreement that it's our favourite Heaven 17 album.
Very much so.
And we don't need this fascist groove fang is a song you should certainly listen to if you've not
and
before.
And it's... like before you even get to listening to it, like what a title for the first song on a debut album.
But the whole thing, like the reason it was banned by the BBC is because it was considered to libel Ronald Reagan, because it was sort of released just after he became president or something.
Yeah,
and yeah, like just the fact that it's a song denouncing the sort of military industrial complex and the politicians involved with it and all of those kind of things. You know, just like you do for your debut single.
But also. Uses the word fang.
This is the central tension at the heart of Heaven 17, which is that the dancey, poppy kind of side, and then the political, apocalyptic, weird side. Yeah. And there's always, throughout their music, in We Don't Need This Fascist Groove Fang, that's like the flavouring, and most of it is angry weirdness.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas as we get later in their career, it's mostly sweetness with a bit of angry weird in the centre.
Yeah,
which
it
sort
seems
of,
to lose.
As you bite in, it's like, ooh, that's a strange taste.
I just have this image of them coming up with, we don't need this fascist groove thing, and something's missing.
It needs to be funkier. It's a brilliant song. It's probably, well, Temptation or that, it's hard to say necessarily. But so they're very different. So I think I can have them both in my heart. But yeah, like, it's certainly setting your stall out. And it's kind of amazing that they did go on from that. Because We Don't Need This Fascist Groove Thing got to number 45, which I guess is partly off the back of the notoriety of being banned, maybe.
Well, quite possibly.
It's hard to imagine that it was going to be played in heavy rotation on Radio 1 anyway, because it's not a very poppy song.
It's not really the kind of thing you can imagine someone like Mike Reed or...
No, well, he was the one who was outraged by it.
Of course he was.
Yeah, he's the one who refused to play it first.
You know, Mike, I won't play Relax,
yeah,
Reed.
Exactly.
So,
but because that, in that case, very Relax was a very definite connection between being banned and then becoming a big hit.
Well,
whereas this one was banned and then didn't quite scrape the top 40.
I mean, it wasn't quite relaxed levels of success.
No. But it was also in 1982, I think. So it was too long before Now albums to have featured on one. And so we had Temptation instead, which, to be fair, is not a bad substitute.
Well, no.
And was much more obviously successful chart-wise. But yeah, like I guess, I mean, unless there's anything else about the band in general you wanted to talk about, they were in a Plusnet advert.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, I suppose the obvious thing is that for me, I'm always going to start by comparing them to Human League,
okay,
as we've got
yeah.
into before, about them kind of splitting away from that band, from this band and so on. And I'm very much a fan of Human League, or at least a couple of the albums in particular that I like, the big one, Dare and 81 and so on. But at the same time, I don't know if I'd go as far to say Human League were innovators. They were very, I think they're very good at what they did, a very particular craft of songwriting with a very particular sound of the synths and the almost kitchen sink double singing with the...
Well, that's one thing they have in common, Heaven 17 and Human League, because, well, certainly not in their first album, maybe, but in Temptation and their later stuff, when they worked with Aphrodisiac a lot, the backing singers, or even when it's not Aphrodisiac, the backing vocals are sort of hushed and sort of whispered almost on some songs. So, yeah, but it's I guess it's not quite the same dynamic as there is in Human League.
At the very least, in the first couple of albums, they're just a lot more interesting in what goes on behind the vocal as well, let alone the actual lyrics that that are going on in there. And so listening to it in the kind of slightly more analytical way that we might necessarily do otherwise ahead of this, that first album, there's so much going on a lot of the time.
It's mad. It's the same with the second album as well, The Luxury Gap, which is the one Temptation comes from.
Yeah.
To a lesser extent, it's that they've got a more consistent sound.
Yeah.
On the album as a whole, and it's more like the stuff that they then went on to do for most of their career. But at the same time, there's not really a song on that album which doesn't have something which is kind of odd or unsettling going on in the production or in
again,
the vocals.
Again, it's another, which you'll go on to talk about in a bit, but again, it's quite the title of an opening song for that album.
Okay, yes. We will get onto that one in a bit, because because eventually what we want to do with this is at the end of these profile podcasts, pick a song that we wish had appeared on an album. And unfortunately, we don't need that fascist grouping. It's disqualified by being too old.
Alas.
So we've had to pick another one. But there is at least one more really great for our tastes Heaven 17 single.
I think, before we leave alone, we don't need the fascist groove thing. I think for me, it would be an honourable mention to include on like a Now That's What I Call 80s.
Yes, well, they've just released a little while ago and probably even longer by the time I put this out.
Well,
but Now That's What I Call Forgotten 80s, which is sort of meant to be the kind of B-list hits, I guess.
Yeah.
Like some of them seem very recognisable to me, but that might just be because, you know, I'm really into big audio dynamite and other people aren't. And like Heaven 17 do feature on there with one of the songs that we might discuss in a minute. But it isn't, sadly. We don't need that bash screw thing or anything from the first album.
No.
The first album in its entirety, I would very much recommend listening to.
Yeah.
The Luxury Gap, the second one as well. After that, it's your call.
Even like the singles after it, it's not even like I'd say they're bad or anything.
No,
it's
that's
just
true.
There's a bit less about those that make us like the first one.
To go back to the Human League comparison, they've become more like the Human League by that point because they are more just straightforward chart pop.
Kind of, yeah. It's very more token Top of the Pops 80s.
Yes, yeah.
Essentially.
It sounds very sort of polished and clean, but whereas that first album in particular, it does sound like a band who were working out what they want to do on the fly almost. I mean, I'm sure they weren't. I'm sure they put a huge amount of, because it's a lot of music of that time. Thomas Dolby is another example where this trying to create a futuristic sound, and it does. And certainly by the time of Temptation, you can tell there's a huge amount of sort of planning which has gone into constructing the song.
It's
in a
very
well
constructed song.
And it's harder to get that from We Don't Need That Fascist Groove Bang, but at the same time, that doesn't mean it wasn't there. It might have been carefully constructed chaos, you know?
Well, yeah.
But unless we can track down Martin Ware, we probably won't find that out right now. So I guess we could maybe move on to talking about the other songs which are on Now albums. Because
yes.
There's two others.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, I think in these profile sort of things, we're going to try and pick artists who only have one other song, maybe.
Yeah.
Because three, it's like, hey, we might do them again at some point, who knows. But one of the other two, which is on a Now album, and it's on Now 23 in particular, is also Temptation.
Yes.
But it's the Brothers in Rhythm remix.
And even that, though, Heaven 17 is a stretch, because
it's the vocals have been re-recorded, but musically it's pretty much fresh and just slightly dull 90s dance music.
Yeah, and it's because that one is in both of our memory, although it's what I think is probably my first introduction to that song, probably. But it's too late to hesitate. We can't keep on living like this. The thing is, I don't even remember when I must have first heard the original one. I know, like, in the house, we probably had, like, 80s CDs, like, mixes and things. That I imagine it was on one of them. I don't really remember.
Yeah,
but,
I feel like I saw it on television at some point. So it might have been, like, an MTV Best of the 80s things while I was around a friend's house or something like that. I think when I first heard it, I was a bit put off by how over the top it is, to be honest. And I've grown to like that a lot more. But, whereas the Brothers in Rhythm remix, I just don't have any strong memories of at all, you know.
Yeah, that's it. I don't even know if I have strong memories of beyond just
it existed.
I remember it existing,
but I don't think it's a hugely interesting version of the song, but I guess like career wise because that was at the point when they'd sort of faded out of popular consciousness a lot, I think, because on the back of it, didn't they re-release a best of album with it on it?
I'm
or
sure
something
they
like
did
that. So I'm sure there was a little commercial, hey, here's a paycheck for you, but at the same time, I think the lasting thing is probably that a different generation of people discovered them, maybe. Like, yeah, people who are a bit older than us, possibly, who would have heard it and gone, oh, what is this? A bit more, rather than just hearing it and dismissing it, as I did.
At the very least, his distinctive vocal is still...
Well, the two vocal parts are both still there, it's that contrast between them that's really interesting. But there is another non-remix version of a Heaven 17 song on a Now album, and it's on Now That's What I Call Music 4. From 1984, if I'm correct.
It is, I think.
And it's called Sunset Now. We knew it was over, saying, tell the boys that we're not handing over any part of Action Town. It's much more polished than We Don't Need That Fascist Groove Thing. It's very upbeat with a boom, ba do da do da boom, da do da do da 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 kind of thing. Yeah, and because this, I'm still not entirely convinced by this, but it came to me when I was sort of looking at the lyrics, and then I found an interview where somebody seems to imply the same thing, but it's about nuclear war.
Yes.
And it's, I mean, again, we were talking about the sort of the weirdness and the sweetness and the clash, and I guess most of the weirdness here is then in the lyrics, which are kind of odd, with dice for the cold as ice.
Yeah, it's raining bread.
Raining bread. Yeah. Which again, maybe there's some particular, what, maybe dice are linked to nuclear war in some way I'm unaware of.
And again, it's a thing like we were hinting at with, we talk about with the Fascist Groove Thing, that there's a certain element, there are a certain mixture of elements of songwriting that are kind of present in the sense of, you know, with this bab, bab, doo doo, but yeah, the lyrics about raining bread and dying and...
And it is certainly, I think, the most upbeat song about nuclear war I can think of. It may not be. If not, then please email at davidsband@gmail.com or find us on social media at NowMusicFod, because maybe there's an entire podcast to do out of upbeat songs about nuclear war.
That'd be quite a research project.
Especially if they all appeared on Now albums as well. I'm going to go out on a limbo and say that this might be the only song on a Now album.
I mean, unless if, you know, E17, a lot more left field than we realised.
We should not make statements like that until we've really dug into direction we're writing about. Who knows? But no, yeah. Anyway, Sunset Now, it's a song I kind of like it on different levels.
Yeah.
Like, on one hand, I do kind of like the oddness of it and the fact it's about something really sort of apocalyptic. Mm. And on the other hand, I do kind of like the sort of upbeat poppiness of it.
Yeah,
but I don't think they gel.
Yeah, there's a certain enjoyable 80s-ness of it. But I think, as you kind of hinted at, the problem with that for me is that it sounds less distinctive. I mean, short of his distinctive vocal, and arguably when you analyse the lyrics, they're kind of very them, but...
It's just much less edgy.
Yeah, it's lost a certain... And you kind of need a song...
Because this is something... We'll come back, I guess, to this theme of the sort of a satirical song, in a sense, because it is a sort of political satirical song. To do an upbeat nuclear war song, you'd imagine that's part of the intention.
Yeah.
And like, even the fact they're using sort of images of sunsets and stuff, because that's the double kind of loadedness of a sunset is an end, but at the same time it's something beautiful.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's quite a clever song in its way. I just don't know if I'd really want to listen to it that much.
Yeah.
Whereas they've got another song, which isn't on a Now album, which has all those kind of ingredients, but I absolutely love as well.
Yeah.
So we'll get back to this theme. But for now, yeah, like, I don't know, it's not a spectacular song, and I wouldn't be sad if it was replaced on a Now album by the other one we are going to talk about. But it's also more interesting than a remix of Temptation, a 90s dance remix of Temptation.
Yeah, and I'm Now 4, I think you said this was on.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's, like, again, if we were to listen through Now 4, sure, it's probably it would stand out
a bit more. But I guess, given that we've dismissed Brothers in Rhythm, and to a certain extent this, although it definitely is interesting, we should maybe think about the alternatives.
Yes.
And they did have a few other top 10, or not top 10 hits, they had one other top 10 hits. So I guess that's the most likely candidate.
Yep.
And that is Come Live With Me, which is on now Forgotten 80s. That is.
And I think that would have to be mine, purely from the Penthouse and Pavement singles not being eligible if we yeah, are, if okay. we were to stick within a Now timeline from 1983.
Yeah, it is definitely the most plausible one to appear on a Now album.
Yeah.
Given, because I guess one thing we didn't say about Sunset Now is that it was the first single of How Men Are.
Yeah.
So even though it only got to number 24 in the charts, so it wasn't as big a hit, it does have that kind of thing where the first single from an upcoming album will appear on...
At the very least, a certain anticipation of release from a band who have charted well.
Exactly. So I'm guessing that's why that was maybe their last proper appearance on Now, is because they realised after that, they're not going to have top 10 hits anymore. Here today, my tomorrow. I will follow all that kissing, no passion missing. Come live with me, kiss the boys goodbye. Come live with me, kiss the boys goodbye. Come live with me. Come Live With Me was from The Luxury Gap as well.
Yeah, and it seems maybe a little surprising that one hasn't made...
I guess maybe it was sort of too soon after. They didn't want Double Heaven 17 on the first album.
But they did want Double Culture Club. So, you know.
Well, you know. Yeah, I can't explain. To be fair, I'm not a big fan of Come Live With... Well, I kind of like it, but at the same time, it creeps me out a bit. And I don't know if that's deliberate or not.
It's hard. It's said to you, there's a lyrical... it's a lyrical repetition of...
Stop kissing the boys, come live with me.
Yes.
And it sounds like he's just trying to seduce a teenager or something like that.
Although it opens with, like, he was 17.
Oh, okay. So it literally is a teenager.
Yeah.
So my creeped outness is justified. Excellent. Yeah. Because, I was going to say, I guess they were younger then. And it would definitely feel weird to see Glenn Gregory trying to seduce a 17-year-old now. Don't fancy that at all. Maybe that was Now's thinking.
Well, it's probably...
I doubt it. I think they've got... Well, Now 3 has Gary Glitter on it.
Oh, God. Well, there we go. I mean...
So we'll see, actually, because they're re-releasing that on CD soon.
I guess if...
So if it's still on there, we'll know they're okay with that kind of thing.
I guess the thing is, if, say, a possible reason for Come Live With Me not being on there was it would have also been on Now 1... I'm not sure exactly how it would have worked out, but yeah, like, I kind of thinking of two Cod Club songs, the amount of attention given to Kazugugu Lamal.
No, you're right, it's no there's no excuse.
And the Lamal song,
but
didn't
I guess, like,
well,
if you were going to try and find some logic in that, maybe you'd say because Heaven 17 were a more alternative band and Now has never had as much space for that kind
of
thing.
Well, probably not. No,
it doesn't have the sort of it's quite as theatrical vocals. It's a much more sort of slow and downbeat song.
Yeah,
downbeat's not quite right because it's just gentle. Despite, but like you were saying, there's some slightly odd chord changes on there,
yeah,
which is
a certain,
what lends a creepiness to it.
Yeah,
as well,
there's a kind of every fourth chord, I guess it is, through the verses, there's a certain sinister key, like almost a chord that goes out of the scale or of some sort. Whatever it is, it like sounds almost pointedly disturbing somehow.
But yeah, I think if we were being sort of entirely, we are now playlisters, this would be the other one to get on there because it was a big hit and it was at the peak of their fame.
Yeah.
And it's a love song, ultimately, even if it's a slightly creepy one.
And if you had, if you knew Heaven 17 but had no idea of Now track lists, I think it'd be a reasonable prediction that the song would have been on a Now.
Yeah, but they had a couple of other top 40 hits, so I think we should consider them as well.
Yeah.
Especially one of them, which we'll get to less. But first of all, they had one, I think it was also from How Men Are, called This Is Mine, which got to number 23 in the charts. When it gets you down, rise and leave it. Tell them this is mine. Tell them this is mine. Push away the stone. We are not alone. go. So yeah, we had another quick listen to This Is Mine, which is from the same album as Sunset Now, but I do think I prefer this one.
Yeah.
Because it's just musically more adventurous, if nothing else.
Yeah, kind of given the lyrics a bit of a read, and it's hard to pin down exactly what it's about beyond a vague sense of being,
it was
know,
tricky with Sunset Now as well. So I think they were just very much into a period of very obtuse lyrics.
Yeah.
But, you know, Temptation was a song about really wanting to have sex, but not doing so, filtered through biblical imagery, so probably should expect. But it was like a bit of biblical imagery in this one as well. So just roll the stone away. So there's maybe some kind of Jesus thing going on in there. Who knows? But it's there's just a few like little touches where the music changes quite suddenly, or like there's a bit where there's one line which is delivered as "Tell me this is mine" in just this really kind of angry way.
Just suddenly there. And it's strange in a way that. You could argue that is kind of the hook of the song, because it's not otherwise, it doesn't really jump out as a single.
It's not a hugely poppy song. So, you know, it kind of makes sense that it only got to number 23 or 24 or whatever it was, 23.
Yeah. The "Tell Me This Is Mine" is the only, obviously. Yeah.
And that sounds kind of angry. And it's hard to imagine people singing along to it, except for like big Heaven 17 fans, you know. Not teenagers in their bedroom or whatever. No. Although even Temptation might be a stretch on that one. But it's an interesting song, but I don't think it's anywhere near as interesting as the one that I definitely want to have been on an Now album, even though I will openly admit that it was never really going to happen, which was Thingamy.
Tree Gap.
And it was the first single from it as well, which just seems brave. Was it the first single? Am I making that
up? It's the first song.
It's the first song on the album. But we'll look that up and come back after having a quick listen. Mm. But it's a song called "Crushed by the Wheels of Industry."
Yeah. Some are workers, some are not. It is time for a party destination for the nation now.
Okay. I'm hoping that anyone listening to this, upon hearing that clip that I'm going to edit in, has immediately paused the podcast and gone to listen to the whole song, because it's great. It's wonderful. It's got a lot more in common with We Don't Need That Fascist Groove Thing than any of the other songs that we've sort of talked about here.
It is like this album's version of that, in a way.
Yeah, well, that's a really good way. It's like they remade it, but as a pop record rather than a post-punk record.
Yeah.
Because it's got, you know, a fun, poppy, dancey, funky quality to it. But at the same time, and like the delivery of the vocals is upbeat. And as we were talking about earlier with Sunset Now and stuff, except for it's very satirical and sarcastic. And because it's a celebration of industry. It's presenting itself as a wheel, but also it's called "Crushed by the Wheels of Industry." I mean, it's all in the chorus where you chant "Crushed by the Wheels of Industry," and then it ends "Woo, woo."
Yeah. Even that kind of almost emulates like factory.
Well, that's what I was saying to you. And it's like, I don't know if that's like their intention, but like you can take it either just as this really sarcastic sort of being crushed by the wheels of industry, or you could say that it does have this sort of extra level where it's onomatopoeic sound of factory workers here before I trudge home ruined, which might be reading a bit too much into it, but I really, really like this song, so I've been listening to it quite a lot, and I'm starting to hear depths. But it's just a brilliant party song, which is also intensely political. But this one even got to, well, appropriately for Heaven 17, I guess it got to number 17 in the charts. Which, you know, it's not one of their big hits, and it's not it's not even top 10, I guess, but it's a pretty big hit for a song this.
And I'd say it's a fairly, at least for the first couple of albums or so, it's a fairly reasonable representation of them as a band and what they do.
Because I do really love their first couple of albums, basically, and this is the midpoint between the two, because the first one is more experimental, more abrasive. The second one is more poppy, but it's still got a lot of that in there, and this is right in the middle.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect like song to open the album on. And we did look it up, and it's actually the last single they released from the album, but never mind. But no, yeah, it's a great song, and like I say, I guess if I'm being honest here, I'd have to agree with you and go that Come Live With Me is the only one which realistically would have gotten an Now album otherwise.
Yeah.
But I hope that maybe we can both agree that in our fantasy world of Now albums, there would be space for Crushed by the Wheels of
Industry. It would be fantastic. Even for the image of it being next to like Phil Collins or something in a Now album.
Well, because one of her songs, obviously, we did talk about was the KLF. Scream Up North, and this feels like it's very much in that spirit, this sort of apocalyptic dance song.
Yeah.
So there you go, there's a precedent.
And in fact, if something is out there as Justified Ancients of Moo Moo made it, you can make it onto an album.
Yes.
You could argue that this one, if anything, is less out there than that kind of thing. So
it wasn't quite as big a hit, was it? I think.
No.
It's Grim Up North was number 10, I think, if I remember rightly.
Something
might be
along
10 or 12 or something. But yeah, so this wasn't quite as big a chart hit, but it's more dancey in a sense than It's Grim Up North. And it was several years before. So maybe its time just hadn't come yet. I don't know.
Well, maybe not.
But I do love this song. I do, like I say, I love those first couple of Heaven 17 albums. And if all you know is Temptation, dear listener, I know you know more, David, then I do urge you to go out and at least look up those first couple and see how they float your boat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess now that we have formally inducted this song into the Now universe, even though it's not on a Now album, we'll have to let the company know at some point so they can include it. But
at least on a at least give it, make it with an honourable mention on a retrospective.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Next time they do a Forgotten 80s album, this one has to be on there. That's the rule.
Forgotten 80s 2, though. Surely that'll happen.
They'll get around to it eventually, man. Trust me. But no, I guess unless there's any final words on Heaven 17 you want to share.
Not particularly. I think there's a certain sense of that it's a shame that how it did pan out in a way, that how it seemed like as the music progressed, a certain sense of becoming less interesting as they went on. I know we gave a cursory listen to some later stuff of theirs a while back.
Yeah, well, because I've listened to quite a lot of the stuff which was in, like, the songs we've been talking about today, but I did have a good old binge, basically, of all of their albums in one day or a little while back. And they did stop charting, like, How Men Are, which was where we listened to This Is Mine and Sunset Now from that. I got to number 12, but after that, Pleasure One only charted at number 78. Pleasure One, I remember thinking, was particularly quite bland, but the one after that, Teddy Bear, Duke and Psycho, it's possible that I just listened to Heaven 17 so long by that point that anything which was a little bit different I was enjoying. But I do remember thinking, oh, this is a bit more interesting after slightly bland 80s. So if you're gonna delve deeper into that,
it did make number 46 in Germany. Let's not forget that.
I don't know enough about the German music scene to know how well that reflects on it.
All I know is that David Hasselhoff
That's true. And if they like Hasselhoff, they must have good musical taste. So there you go, a ringing endorsement for Teddy Bear, Duke and Psycho from 1988. If you want to look up some of the very much non-charting era of Heaven 17, I didn't care a huge amount for any of their later material, the 90s,
I think,
and
it
2000s,
may have been the 90s one we heard a while back.
We did listen to a bit of it, I think, and
it just sounded
like they were trying to catch up with what dance music had become by that point. And I think I possibly even switched off before Naked as advertised for the last one. But never mind. I'll get around to them listening to them one day, but for now I'm very much an early Heaven 17 man. It's so, Heaven 17, they only graced the sort of pop scene very briefly, and the Now albums even more so. But they did some really interesting stuff in that time.
Yeah, those
and
first
even
couple
in,
of
like,
albums.
The mainstream of pop, which is nuts.
And it's some achievement to get Temptation to chart as well as
yeah,
it did,
exactly.
And to become that ingrained in the cultural music history.
Yeah. Because this is the thing we were saying, like, because when I put it on just to re-listen to it before we even started recording, it was like, we know this song, do we really need to listen to it? But then we got like a couple of minutes in, it was, we were just sort of infusing,
we're just listening to it for enjoyment,
enjoying it, but also infusing it again about things we hadn't really noticed before. Oh, that sounds great,
just the attention to detail again.
But these early albums in particular, I think listening and re-listening just sort of reveals more and more. And that is always good when it's in music, isn't it? So well done, Heaven 17.
Yeah.
It's a shame that you weren't on more Now albums, but we've now at least given one of your songs unofficial Now status.
Well, yeah, what more could you want?
Yes. I'll tweet Martin where to tell him. I'm sure he'll be glad.
He'll be overjoyed.
For now though, we'll leave you alone and we'll be back next time to talk about Prince.
Yes.
Who bizarrely has only featured on Now albums twice, but we'll get more into that next time. For now, bye. Thank you for listening to Is That What I Call Music? If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us at
davidsband@gmail.com
or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at
Now Music Pod.